We're in Proverbs. We're doing a summer series in the book of Proverbs. You want to turn with me to chapter 6. We're going to read a few verses together and work out what the Lord has to say to us this morning. Proverbs chapter 6. And we're specifically looking at verses 6 to 11. And then we'll jump forward to chapter 26 and look at verses 13 to 16 because there's similar themes going on there. So keep your hand in 6. And maybe you want to do a little thing where you have your hand in 26 as well so we can flick over to that next. All right, 6, verse 6. This is God's holy, perfect, precious word to us this morning. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. And just jump forward to chapter 26, verse 13. It says, the sluggard says, there's a lion in the road, there's a lion in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his head in the dish. It wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Amen? Let's ask for God's help this morning. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. We pray that each one of us would not be wise in our own eyes, but we listen to your holy word to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, what is the worst thing you have ever been called? Now, I don't want you to shout it out, because I'm sure there's some really awful things that have been shouted at you in your life before. So just keep them in your head. What's the worst thing you've ever been called in your life? In Nidri, there's two things you don't want to be called above all things. You don't want to be called a junkie, and you don't want to be called a pedophile. If you're called any of those two things, you're either in serious, serious trouble, or someone really doesn't like you. Well, in ancient Israel, one of the worst things you could be called is a sluggard. One of the worst things you could be called is a sluggard. And you can probably see why. Nobody wants to be compared to a slug, do they? When you think of a slug, what do you think of? You think of a slow and lazy and slimy creature that's eating through your nice plants if you like to keep a garden. Well, it's interesting that throughout the book of Proverbs, not just those two chapters I read earlier, Solomon focuses on this kind of comical figure called the sluggard. He's kind of a comical figure that comes up again and again, who's meant to warn us against the stupidity of laziness. He wants to warn us of the dangers of being like a slug. Solomon focuses on this figure to help us to assess our own hearts and our own attitudes and our own lives before the Lord to see if we are truly using our gifts and our talents and our time to glorify the Lord and seek first his kingdom. Now, the problem before we get into the sermon and what a sluggard is and all that kind of thing is, the problem with doing a sermon like this as I was preparing is that we can react in two different ways. Some of us are going to react like this. We're going to puff ourselves up and think, you know what? I'm not a sluggard. I'm not like those lazy people out there. That's not me. We compare ourselves to others, or it can make us feel really, really condemned as we compare ourselves to other people. Do you see those two reactions? Like, don't be a sluggard. Some of us are like, oh, at least I'm not like a sluggard. And others of us are like, I feel really condemned by that. Now, the sermon is hopefully not going to hit either way. My prayer is that we won't get self-righteous, but instead we'll look at our own hearts. I don't want you to look at anybody else in the room today. I don't want you to think about anybody else. You need to think about yourself before the Lord. Okay? And my prayer is that you won't come condemned from this sermon, but I want you to see that your identity is in Christ this morning, and that we labor and serve out of that identity. So you're not comparing yourself to other people, oh, this person can do that, and that person's more talented than me, and that person works harder than me at church. None of that. It's your walk with the Lord. Are you being faithful in the arena and the area with your frailties and your sins and your struggles today? Okay? So don't think about anyone else. Think about yourself. Okay? So 3 points today. You got me back in the pulpit, so you get 3 points. Okay? What are the signs of being a sluggard? What's the heart behind a sluggard? And how can we change to be like an ant? Okay? Signs, heart, change. Let's get in. So, what are the signs of being a sluggard? How do I know if I'm being lazy? Like I said at the beginning, the sluggard is mentioned throughout the book of Proverbs. And there's 4 signs, okay? 4 signs. First, a sluggard is someone who constantly puts off things. Okay? A sluggard says this, I'll get to that tomorrow. Look at verses 9 to 10. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When are you going to rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. You know, when I was a teenager, this is something that I persistently and consistently struggled with. I wouldn't start things, would put off things. My mum and dad would ask me to do things. I would always say this to them, I'll get to it tomorrow. My dad gave me a nickname as a teenager. He said, you're the mañana boy. Mañana, mañana. Always tomorrow, never today. That's what we do though, don't we? When we're feeling sluggish, we're like, I'll get to that tomorrow. Secondly, a sluggard is someone who never finishes anything. Sluggards love to start new projects but never finish them. They have so many bright ideas, but they have hardly any follow through. They're like a builder who comes along to your house, says they'll do something, they start the work, but they never finish it. Proverbs 26:15 says, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish, it wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. So just, we can all get this imagery, even the kids can get this. You've got food in front of you, it's being prepared for you, you're so lazy, you can't even put your hand in the dish to eat. That's the picture that we get here. The sluggard has food in front of him. It's all prepared for him, but he's too lazy to do anything about it. So he never finishes. Third, the sluggard consistently struggles to face difficult things. The sluggard faces any reality, any reason not to face reality. They have difficult things happening in their lives, and the sluggard just puts his head in the sand and hopes that everything will blow over. Proverbs 26:13-14 says, there's a lion in the road, there's a lion in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard's on his bed. He knows there's a lion out there. He knows there's danger, but you know what he does? He turns over and goes back to sleep again. Why? He can't be bothered to face reality. He says, do you know what? I know there's difficult things for me at home, but one more drink at the pub won't harm me. He says, I know I've got homework to do, but the sluggard says, do you know what? One more Xbox game, then I'll get to it. The sluggard says, do you know what? I know I've got difficult things to face today, but do you know what? I'm going to lie out. Turn over, a couple more hours in bed. Always putting things off. Always procrastinating. Always saying tomorrow. Fourth, the sluggard is someone who is restless and unproductive. You know, laziness leads to an apathy in life. That means a kind of, what's the point? What's the point of even getting out of bed today? No point. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. The sluggard thinks, the more I rest, the more I sleep, the more I spend on TikTok, the more I do this, the more I do that, the more leisure, the more drink, the more drugs, the more this, the more that, Then I'll find the rest that I'm looking for. Another holiday will give me the rest I'm looking for. But those who are lazy and who are sluggard-like never find the rest they're looking for as they focus on that in their lives. And many of us have probably felt this before. Have you ever sat on your phone for an hour just flicking through Instagram or TikTok? Just looking at the reels, looking at the adverts, looking at TikTok shop, whatever it is. After that hour, how do you feel afterwards? You feel awful. You've compared yourself to everyone else and realized your life is pretty rubbish. You feel drained of life. You feel empty. You feel restless. A kind of, that was a waste of time, wasn't it? That's because it usually is. If you spend that same hour getting up, reading your Bible and prayer, you feel much more satisfied in your life or doing the jobs that you've been called to do. A person who does that, who's apathetic, who's sluggish, who's lazy, constantly craves, but is ultimately left dissatisfied. Why? Why? Because, do you know what? You and I were created by a great God in heaven, and we were created to work. You and I were created to have responsibility. You and I were created to have dominion over the earth. We were created to tend the garden. Here's a myth that has subtly, but profoundly crept into today's culture and into the church. Here's the myth. Life is all about rest. Life is all about relaxation. Life is all about having no responsibilities at all in life. But that's not biblical. That is not biblical at all. Yes, there's time to rest. Yes, there's time to relax. However, that is not the goal of your life. The goal of life is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. The goal of life is to magnify the Lord with the many talents God has given you. You have been called to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness above all things. Work, parenting, responsibility, service, church membership, discipline are all things that are good for us. The creation pattern was 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. We've turned it into 6 days of rest and 1 day of work. That's not biblical. That's why Solomon gives us the example of the ant in contrast to the sluggard. What does the ant do? The little tiny ant, shows up us who are the crown of creation. What does the ant do? The ant has no chief and yet gets on with his job. The ant has no one looking over his shoulder. He just gets on with the task that is designated in front of him. The ant doesn't need to be told, clean your room. The ant does it instinctively. The ant prepares and gathers his bread in the summer so there's food in the winter. The ant is always looking ahead. He's always prepared. The ant is diligent and he's not caught on his heels. He thinks through the week ahead and thinks, this is what's going to happen. He plans, he plots, he works hard. The ant works alongside other ants with a common goal instead of just thinking about his own selfish needs. He doesn't think, what can I get out of life for me, my wants and my needs and my desires? The ant thinks, what is best for the colony? You see the difference? Ant works, prepares, is diligent. The sloth or the sluggard is lazy, thinks only about today, procrastinates, only thinks about himself or herself, doesn't think about anybody else. So the question this morning you want to ask yourself, and each one of us needs to ask ourselves, is, are we a sluggard or are we an ant? Do you start jobs but never finish them? Do you constantly put off things that are difficult till tomorrow? Do you have an apathy in life where you're always cutting corners and never do your job properly? Do you sit on your hands most of the day, constantly watching TV and on your phone, even while you're at work or supposed to be at work? These are all signs of sluggish behavior. And this is something that we all struggle with. Doesn't matter whether you're poor or you're rich. Teenagers, where's the teenagers in the room? You can look at me at this point and focus. Teenagers can struggle with being sluggards as they sit around the house all day, eating the food they have not bought, living in a house where they do not pay rent, complaining about the parents that do everything for them while working for nothing. Don't be a sluggard, be an ant. Ministry interns, some of them are away, some of them are here. Ministry interns struggle with being sluggards as they see working at the church as the easy life, taking for granted the responsibilities they have, cutting corners in their internship. Pastors, me, Jason Craig, we can struggle being sluggards as we struggle with motivation and cynicism, getting AI to write our sermons, never visiting our people, and aiming just for the status quo instead of aiming for excellence. Don't worry, this is not an AI sermon today. It's all Andy, the Lord's help. Parents in the room, you can struggle with sluggish behavior. Instead of parenting your children, you stick them in front of TVs for hours on end, giving them devices for hours on end, lazing around the house instead of looking after your own kids. Workers, any workers in the room, you can struggle with being sluggards as you're sluggish at work, taking for granted your responsibilities, complaining about the jobs that are a gift to you from the Lord and only working half-heartedly at the job. Married couples, any married couples in the room, you can struggle with sluggish behavior as you take your marriage for granted and hardly spend any time with each other. Friends, any of us friends here, we can struggle with sluggish behavior as we put off difficult conversations we should have and we push people away. Retirees, any retirees in the room, you can struggle with sluggish behavior as you waste your retirement years on constant relaxation instead of using the gifts you've been given to serve your families, serve your homes, and serve your church. Do you see? This is a battle for rich. This is a battle for poor. This is a battle for anybody at any stage of life. Wherever we're at, we can struggle with this. And when sluggish behavior is in full flight, it is a travesty. Why? Why is it a travesty? Because often the sluggard has so much potential, and yet they are lacking any drive and so foolishly waste their God-given talents. The amount of people I've spoken to in Nidri who've told me this, I could have been this when I'm older, I could have been that. Do you know what they did? They cut corners in life, they smoked weed all day, and they never got anywhere. And now they look back on their lives and think, I've wasted it. So, such a travesty, isn't it? It's a travesty because time is short and life is fleeting, and you and I have been created by God to glorify Him. It's a travesty because sluggish behavior leads to an assault of all sorts of other sins. Sluggish behavior leads to gossip, leads to addiction, it leads to envy, it leads to lust. It's interesting if you read the rest of chapter 6, that after Solomon warns his son about sluggish behavior, he then warns about the person who gossips and slanders and causes discord between brothers and sisters in Christ. Why? Because the more time you have on your hands, the more time you have to say this and that about this person and that person. Let me make it abundantly clear. Sluggish, slothful behavior in the Bible is sinful. It's sinful, and it never gets us where we want to get. Sluggish behavior often has this at the root. It says, do you know what? I'm going to focus on the easy option instead of taking the hard option. And when you take the easy option, it always leads to long-term poverty, both financially and relationally. In Nidri, people often want quick fixes, don't they, to their problems. People don't want to work, and so what they do is they play the national lottery every week, hoping they'll get that lucky ticket to win millions of pounds. Or they go to the bingo week by week, hoping to just sort the money out and sort their debt out. People don't want to go to the gym or do fitness. What do they do instead? They take weight loss drugs. People don't want to work hard at a job. They want to follow a quick rich scheme that comes up on their Instagram ads. But do you know what? Short-term satisfaction rarely brings long-term health and well-being. The Lord has made the world in a way where delayed gratification is a good thing. Diligence in our jobs is a wise thing. Working hard leads to long-term success. Short-term fixes rarely deliver anything, do they? Weight loss drugs help you lose weight short-term, but the gym and fitness help your mind, your body, and your soul. The lottery might give you millions of pounds in an instant, but those who win it are rarely happy after it. Children might be happy with the games in front of them and get the dopamine hits they want from their Xbox, and it gives you rest as a parent, but long-term it ruins their mental health and leaves them with no work ethic. A crisis loan might help you for 48 hours, but long-term it leaves you in poverty, doesn't it? Let me make it abundantly clear, there are no shortcuts in the Christian life. There's no shortcuts in life in general, are there? Don't fall for the quick fix fantasy. Some of us in this room look at our Christian lives and we think, why have I not been given responsibility? Why is my life not further on than it should be? And the reason, often at the root, is sluggish behavior. You can't be trusted. The Lord Jesus says, those who are responsible with small things will be given greater responsibility. If you can't be trusted with the small things, you will not be given more responsibility in the Christian life. So the Bible, the book of Proverbs, is saying all of us need to repent of sluggish behavior. Look at every area of your life this morning, whether that's your work, whether that's your friendships, whether that's your parenting, whether that's your marriage, whether that's your bank account, whether that's your garden, and repent of any sluggish behavior that might be there. Life is too short, and God is too glorious for us to be sluggards. Amen? Second, what is the heart behind the sluggard? So that's what sluggish behavior is, where it leads. What's the heart behind the sluggard, okay? What's going on behind the scenes? And it's important that we look at the heart because the Bible says the heart is the wellspring of life, isn't it? If you want to change your behavior, you must target, you must aim for, you must change the heart. So let's look at some of the heart diagnostic things that could be going on. Some of us struggle with sluggish behavior this morning because we're entitled. Some of us struggle with sluggish behavior because we're entitled. Our hearts are all about what can I get from life rather than how can I serve those around me. And that can be for a number of reasons. Maybe you were spoiled as a child. Maybe you were spoiled as a child growing up and everything was all about you. You were the number one child or the only child in the family or you were the baby and you got treated differently to the other kids. You got everything you wanted. And so as you grew up, you've grown up entitled, thinking it's all about you. Or maybe you've had a tough life. It's the opposite way. You've had a difficult life. And you complain about your lot in life. And so you think, do you know what? I'm going to get everything I can from those around me. I deserve to be served because do you know what? Look what I've gone through. Life's been difficult for me. and therefore, why should I serve? That's some of our hearts this morning. It's an entitled heart. Some of us struggle with sluggish behavior because we feel hopeless in life. We're kind of like, what's the point? Life is too hard. The situation in front of me is too difficult. Nothing is ever going to change. So why bother? We feel hopeless, and hopelessness leads to a kind of inaction in life. Some of us struggle with sluggish behavior this morning because we're driven by fear. We constantly think this in our head, what if I fail? What if I fail? We can't start something because, you know what, I'm never going to finish it. I can't do that difficult thing because, you know what, I'm going to mess it up again. Fear grips our hearts and drives us to distract and deflect and deny the responsibilities we've been given in life. However, here's the thing. Some of us go the opposite way, don't we? Some of us this morning, like I said at the beginning, are thinking smugly to ourselves, you know what, I'm always on time. I'm always prepared. I always work hard. I'm half an hour there before work starts. I stay half an hour afterwards. I finish my job. I'm a hard worker. Me, I'm definitely not a sluggard. And that's true for many here. But here's the thing. Many Christians are not sluggards, but instead are workaholics. And the Bible says that that's just as bad. Some of us make success or ministry our idol. Some of us make success in work our idol. Some of us make success in parenting our idol. And often, we're driven by fear in a different way. We're driven by a fear to prove ourselves to the world, and so we work extra hard. We struggle to rest. We fear what people think of us. We fear being still before the Lord. This can happen in parenthood. We find our identity in being a mum or a dad, and so we put all our efforts and all our time into our kids, and then they move on from the house, and do you know what we feel? Feel empty. Or our kids don't turn out how we wanted them to turn out, and we feel depressed. And part of that's natural because we're parents, but part of that's sinful because we made our kids our idols. This can happen in work, can't it? We find our identity and success and people putting a pat on the back to the work that we're doing, giving us a pat on the back for the work we're doing. And so we never rest, we ignore our families, when we don't work, we feel empty. We struggle to think about anything else. We don't make church a priority. We can do this in ministry. We find our identity in ministry rather than Christ. And when things are going well, when lots of people turn up our seminars or our services or lots of people get saved, and we're on top of the world and we're happy. But then when people don't show up, or people don't get converted, or that convert does walk away, we get depressed. Here's the bottom line. Idolatry drives both the sluggard and the workaholic. Do you see? The sluggard is a frustrated idolater. The workaholic is a successful idolater. See? Fear can drive both things. The workaholic is driven by a fear that he'll let people down, what people think of them. The sluggard has been a failure most of their life, and so fears ever trying anything ever again. Do you see how fear can drive both things? That's the heart that's behind it. It's not just the outward actions or your upbringing. It's what's going on below the surface. What's driving you today? What's ruling you? What do you love? What do you treasure? And so finally, just briefly, it takes us on to our last point. How can we change? How can we change from being a sluggard or a workaholic to being like the ant? How do we avoid overworking? How do we avoid being a sluggard? Here's a central issue in the book of Proverbs, and it's come up again and again. It's fear. It's fear. Who do you fear? Do you fear God, or do you fear something else? The central issue in the book of Proverbs is, what is ruling your heart? What is your priority? What do you treasure above all things? You see, the man or woman who truly fears the Lord will see that there is purpose in life and that they've been created to honor the Lord, to spend their time wisely, and to work hard in whatever sphere God has given them, to work hard, not to their glory, but to the glory of God. And they get joy in it. Fearing the Lord leads to excellence. Fearing the Lord leads to hard work. Fearing the Lord leads to joyful service. Hand in hand. When we fear the Lord, it helps us to battle behavior, sluggish behavior, but it also stops us from making an idol out of work. Workaholism, sluggish behavior won't be changed this morning by you saying, I just need to change. I just need to try better. A guy I read this week said this: we worship our way into sin and we worship our way out of it. We worship our way into sin and we worship our way out of sin. If we want to change our actions, we need to change what we worship. Some of us this morning, if you're an entitled person this morning, if you're entitled and selfish, you know how you battle that? You battle entitlement and selfishness with thankfulness. Many of us this morning need to get on our knees and repent over all the times we've grumbled about our lot in life and remember that life and work and whatever we have in life is a gift from God. The food you eat, the work you have, the family you've been given, the church that you are now at, the community you live in, all of it is a gift from God. And when you moan and you complain about your lot in life, you're saying, God, you're not good. And it leads to sluggish behavior, it leads to sin, it leads to envy, it leads to all sorts of things. Generosity and service flow from a thankful heart. Generosity and service flow from a heart of thankfulness. Some of us this morning just need to remember that responsibility and work is a good thing, whatever it is. Responsibility gives us meaning and purpose. That's why we have membership at our church. Why? Because you have responsibilities to the Lord and to this community. That's why work is good. That's why parenting is good. Why these things are good things. Responsibility is a good thing. If you sit on your backside all day watching TV, you will feel sluggish. You will feel apathetic. That is not what God has created you to do. He's created you to love him, to serve him, in whatever arena you've been called to serve. Some of us need to stop looking to the past. Some of us have this constant voice in our head telling us, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never amount to anything. And it leads us to stop trying to do anything. It leads us to laziness. Instead, know this. If you've been lazy in your past, that's fine. But now you're in Christ, you are forgiven, you're a child of God, you're ransomed, you're healed, you're restored, you're forgiven, you have gifts, you have talents, and the Lord will use them according to his graces for his glory in the area that he's called you to serve. Some of us in this room have the opposite fault. We have a constant voice in our head saying this: you're not doing enough. You're not serving enough. Look at that person over there. Look at what they're doing. You're always comparing yourself to those around you and you struggle to rest. You see all the needs around you. You want to meet each one of them as they come to you. Here's the thing you need to remember. Christ has done everything necessary for your salvation and you are not the savior of the world. Christ is. Christ is the head of the church and the body. You are not the head of the church. Some of us want to do more with life, but our bodies are failing us. We're struggling with ill health or sickness. We're battling depression and mental health and other things. Here's the thing the Lord says to you this morning. Just be faithful in the area God has called you to in this season of life. Even if it's a small thing, do it with all your strength. Know that praying for 10 minutes in the morning for this church is worth more than hours of service in this community. Some of us need to remember there is hope in the season of life that we're going through. Don't let the burdens of life stop you from being active and serving the Lord. Remember, because the Lord is risen from the dead, there is hope. There's hope. Some of us need to remember that work does not define us in whatever area that looks like. Our identity is not shaped by our work, but we are shaped by our identity in Christ as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Ultimately, we all need to find our rest and our satisfaction and our purpose and our meaning in Jesus Christ, don't we? Matthew 11:28 says to each one of us, fearing, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If you are struggling with sluggish behavior, know there is hope in Jesus Christ. You might not have had a reason to live in life before, but now you have every reason to live in life because Christ has saved you for a purpose, to enjoy him and glorify him forever. But know this, as Christians, we now have responsibilities in life, don't we? You have been called to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You've been called to use your gifts and talents to serve his kingdom. You have been called to work hard because the days are evil and the days are short. Look at Jesus. Jesus, who endured the cross, endured the shame, and sat down at the right hand of his heavenly Father. As Christians, you do not have to justify your existence. You do not have to win God's favor. The Lord has done everything necessary for your salvation, but we are to take on the yoke of Jesus Christ, which is easy and light, and then work hard for his name in his strength and for his glory. So let's fight off sloth with all the strength the Lord gives us. Let us redeem the time the Lord has given us here on earth. Let us live for eternity. Let us live with foresight and self-discipline and industry like the ant. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of power and love and self-control. Amen? Amen. Amen.